Schultz family. A little five-year-old girl attended Sunday school, kindergarten school, and each day before the children were dismissed, the teacher would have them sing the doxology. That's interesting for five-year-olds, but it's amazing what kids can do. Well, this little five-year-old loved to sing, but in her own words, and she said, "Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures, here we go." Well, you know, as we as God's people, we need to be praising him for all that he's done, and here we go. Romans chapter 12, I want to take the verse, the context of the verse that we spoke on last week. I got touched about this as I looked at this a little bit further. If you remember last week, we went to a very important verse that is so important in our day for us to be an example to our culture. Verse 16, "Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits." And there's so much there that can protect us to have as a church family and individuals the right kind of testimony. But the verse preceding that really gives the heart of Christ and is very foundational in our having the life of testimony and spirit that really marks Christ. We are the body of Christ, as I mentioned earlier today, and there ought to be the sweetness of the oneness of Christ within the body. Acts 2:44, "And all that believe," this is right after Pentecost, "were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart." Oh, there ought to be the sweetness and fragrance of Christ, as we talked about this morning, in the body of Christ. I want to talk today about Christian empathy, really being involved in a burden for one another within the church family, especially those with whom God has given us ministry, but really for everyone. And so the verse preceding verse 16 that I read, verse 15 says, "Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep." Now it'd be very easy to go over that verse, but this really does take the Spirit of God to have the kind of heart that can fulfill what we have here as far as a direct imperative from the Lord. So, two very obvious points. Number one, rejoice with others. And you say, well, that's not hard. Oh, yes, that's actually harder than you think. And so we need to rejoice in God's blessings on others' lives. It's easy for us to congratulate. It's easy for us to have some form of encouragement when something really good happens to somebody else. But to have that kind of heart that is thrilled when God blesses somebody else, especially if it's what you wish was happening to you. They get the house you wish you could have gotten, or they have something happen to them that that you've been praying for a while. And you know, we can do the right thing and show encouragement, and all of that's important. But this is speaking of genuine rejoicing, entering into their joy with a complete selflessness that is partaking in the thrill that God has blessed them. And that is such it's such a glorious thing when that occurs. But that's not the normal response a lot of times. It does cause, for that to occur, we've got to be genuinely surrendered. Moule, the godly commentator, said on this, "If indeed the Christian has given his body over, it is that his eyes and lips and hands may be ready to give loving tokens of fellowship and sorrow, and what is less obvious, in gladness too, to the human hearts around him." And so it takes a full giving over of our body. You see, we are Christ's body, as I've been emphasizing here tonight. 1 Corinthians 12:26, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. He's the head, we're one body. And so, you know, honestly, when one part of your body feels good, you know, you're happy about that, especially when it didn't feel good. Aren't you glad when you don't have a headache? You know, you feel really good. Well, the whole body rejoices, you know, or that stubbed toe is healed. And you realize, hey, I'm walking normally. Hey, this is great. You know, the whole body says, yay, don't have to gimp with you and mess me up. You know, all the muscles up here get messed up because of one little muscle down there. You got a sprained ankle, but that's the whole picture. It's not just, hey, congratulations. The world can do that. It's, we're one, and that is like it occurred to me. I am that thankful. But you know, our flesh is not that way. Titus 3:3 says, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. That's the natural response. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. So his kindness and love has reached us, and therefore that needs to be us. But you know, so often, folks, we really can be envious, jealous, not really be happy, have hollow congratulations. Now, folks, we understand that out in the world, in the workforce, and all of that, and you know the emptiness of all that stuff. But there ought to just be all over the body. When something good happens, it's as though it happened to you. But you know, it's amazing. Within churches, people can be stiff. They can react. They can say something negative. That's a very tender thing. That jealousy can be a problem. There is never any room for that. And it quickly hurts a person, and it can tear down the work of the Lord. This poem, I think, says it well. I saw them tearing a building down, a gang of men in a dusty town. With a yo-heave-ho and a lusty yell, they swung a beam and the side wall fell. I asked the foreman if these men were as skilled as the men he'd hired if he were to build. He laughed and said, oh no, indeed. Common labor is all I need. For those men can wreck in a day or two what builders had taken years to do. I asked myself as I went my way, what kind of role am I to play? Am I a builder who builds with care, measuring life by the rule and square? Or am I the wrecker who walks the town, content with the role of tearing down? There's a lot to be said about that. In your own family, by the way, brothers and sisters, think about what normally happens. That's not fair. I didn't get to do that. Twice I've had to do that work, and you haven't even asked so-and-so to do that. Does that ever happen? That sense of justice, which is not justice, it's selfishness. That envy, boy, it just shows up really quickly when kids are kids. Now, folks, we have sophistication. We are dignified. We are adults. We are grown up. It's just a covering for being a kid, okay? And the natural response, unless the Spirit of God is working, is somewhat to say, that's not fair. Lord, why didn't you do that to me, for me? And that jealousy can come in. Now, folks, these are seemingly small things, but they can be very, very major. And our encouragement needs to be genuine. One said, encouragement is like a peanut butter sandwich. The more you spread it around, the better things stick together. And the church does really well when people really are excited. Don't you appreciate it when somebody's really happy when you give good news? I mean, they're not put off by you. Maybe, now listen, folks, sometimes a person may be somewhat immature in talking about the good things that happened to them. That doesn't matter. You still need to rejoice. There ought to be a sense of absolute trust and respect in your family and in the family of God. To be able to say, you know, God did something really good for me yesterday. And there's just, even tears might come into somebody else's eyes. And that is glorious. By the way, when you're praying for folks and they tell you something good has happened, you really are happy. Man, it's exciting. There's been a number of things I have been praying. Is Angela in here? Anyway, embarrass her. I've been praying for her for getting a new car. And I saw a nice-looking car. It's a nice-looking car, isn't it, Ben? Okay. And she asked me to pray about that for a while. And I saw that. I said, I wonder if that's Angela's car. Now, everybody knows she has a new car, so the whole world just found out. I don't know how it all happened. But, man, that was just such an answer to prayer because she wasn't able to do that, and God met a need. Now, don't be jealous. Okay, it may be just the perfect color that you wanted, okay? But you need to be happy. I'm telling you, folks, I gave a specific illustration because, you know, it's funny how really carnal we can get. But praying for people changes everything. Man, you just are excited. God answered that prayer. God met that need. He did it better. I mean, and it's just a thrill to your heart. Now, the opposite of that is don't rejoice at others' calamities. You say, well, that's not hard to do. I certainly don't like to see people have a calamity. Yeah, that old flesh has sometimes that, well, they sort of got what was coming to them, or it makes you feel better because they had something negative happen. And isn't it terrible? That kind of thought pattern can creep in. Let me tell you what God thinks about that attitude. Proverbs 17:5, whoso mocketh the poor reproaches his maker, and he that is glad at calamity shall not be unpunished. I'm telling you, if you ever have any kind of rejoicing when something bad happens to somebody else, you need to check that in your soul right there. You need to confess that as an ungodly attitude. It's a natural attitude sometimes. It's hard to believe that can happen, but it can happen. And then you need to, as we're going to see in the next point, you need to enter in to the calamity and that burden. But that ought to really bother you if you find yourself responding at that way, because that is not the Lord's heart. And so we should be rejoicing in spiritual unity. Philippians 2:16, holding forth the word of life, that I, Paul, may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do you joy and rejoice with me. In other words, there's this just wonderful oneness of rejoicing and bearing one another's burdens that is there, that brings this just a wonderful unity. When you are praying for folks and when you're ministering to them and you're involved with them, and then God works, God answers prayer, and you're seeing the hand of God, the grace of God, like we talked about this morning, it just bonds everybody together. There was a cartoon showing an old man in a rocking chair. As he rocked, loud squeaks could be heard. After several futile attempts to get rid of the squeaks in the chair, the man got so angry that he got out his shotgun and shot the chair into splinters. In the final frame of the cartoon, the old man is shown walking away, but the squeaks were still there. They were in his knees. You've probably seen that. And sort of depicts what happens. When we get frustrated with what happens to somebody else, where's the problem? Okay, it's never the other person's problem. It's our problem. Never react, respond spiritually. Well, the second point's obvious. Number two, weep with others. Rejoice with others, weep with others. Look back, if you will, at verse 15. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. It's the character of God. This is the example of God's character. This is very important, folks. We'll never show forth the body of Christ unless we are willing to be touched with other people's infirmities. Deuteronomy 4:31, for the Lord thy God is a merciful God. He will not forsake thee. Aren't you thankful? Lamentations 3:22, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. James 5:11, behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. I have a message that I preach on Matthew chapter 9 about how he was moved with compassion at the people that were sheep as having no shepherd there. And as I preach on that, I go through the different places that Christ wept or was moved with compassion. And in studying those, I realized how strong those words were. Jesus was genuinely human, and in his humanity, who he really is as God shines forth. Aren't you glad for the Gospels? The Gospels reveal who God is in Jesus Christ. He's the Word. He's the Logos. He's the communication. And when Jesus was moved with compassion at Lazarus' grave, the word is stronger. He actually shook with total anxiety and great grief and sorrow when he wept. It wasn't Jesus standing there looking at that grave with tears coming down his eyes. When you see someone who has just been overwhelmed by grief and cannot contain it, that's what Jesus was doing. Can you imagine that? The King of Heaven. That's how much. They said, look how he loved me. Look how he loved this family. And Jesus wept. And so when people go through things, we really need to ask God to give us his heart to do more than just feel sorry for somebody. Now, obviously, there's lots of people, and we're not going to be able to enter in necessarily to everything. But you, when you are especially involved in different people's lives, you need to allow God to do something very, very real in your heart to help you understand what they're going through. Now, if you've ever lost a loved one, you probably have gone through what about everybody has. Good meaning people will come up and say things to you, and it really doesn't help. You know what I'm talking about? Well, they're in heaven. Well, I already know that. Well, that's a good thing to say, but I mean, it just somehow it doesn't connect or whatever. I won't say any other things, but you know what I'm talking about. But then there's a friend that comes up and they see you and they just weep with you and hug you. Don't say a word. There's no word at that moment that's even appropriate for the moment because of the loss. And you know you're greatly comforted, and they didn't say one thing to help you, but they were weeping with you. And you know, we've lost that in our culture. You can go to funerals today and hardly see any crying there. You know, in most cultures, people go for days weeping, and of course some of that's just more cultural than real, but a lot of it is real. And there does have to be grieving, and we need somebody to grieve with us. And so this shows the heart of Jesus. You want to be like Jesus? Well, when God puts you in the path of someone who's been touched with something hard, enter into that. Now, I haven't applied this yet to elementary, junior high, senior high. It's very easy for young people to laugh when somebody has a calamity, to sort of make fun of them. And let me just say, it's never funny, it's never right, and it is opposed to the heart of Christ. I would love to think in our elementary school and junior and senior high and in our youth groups that that just doesn't happen, that there's real safety. But I know it happens. It happens all the time because of just human nature. Young people, I want to encourage you that God can give you a heart. And is there somebody in your class that all of a sudden they fall down, they hurt themselves, or they sort of make a fool of themselves and they're embarrassed? It'd be wonderful if you had enough maturity to come alongside and show concern and not at all make fun of them and do anything you can to help. I'm telling you, there's something about that. You will find the blessing of God upon your life. So it's very, very important. You know, it's interesting in the temple, if you go to the end of the temple where the people would come in, there's lots and lots of steps. We sat on those. There's a place for you to go in and there's a place for you to go out. But when people are mourning, they will go in where you're supposed to go out so people would know that you're filled with sorrow. And it was expected that people would bear the burden. I saw this with my father on a number of occasions, but one that really stands out to me is Dr. Frank Bumpus was pastor at Bethel Baptist Church in Schaumburg, Illinois, a great man of God. And he had two major tragedies in his life with his sons as far as accidents. One was caused a disability and the other caused death. And it was just a tragedy. And of course, it's hard for even people in the church, you know, they just didn't know. I mean, he just really was struggling. And so I was there and my dad was gone long periods of time. Where have you been, Dad? I've just been sitting with Frank. Just been crying with him. And he started to cry. My brother is going through it. We haven't said a lot, but I'm just with him. Kept going back till he got through it. And it was really interesting. Guess who was at the surgery down at Children's Hospital, Northwestern, there in the Chicago area, bright and early to sit with me when my son had hours and hours of surgery, Dr. Frank Bumpus. Now, he didn't sit there and cry with us. If you knew Frank Bumpus, he kept us in stitches. That was a lot better because we weren't sure what was going to happen. How many of you ever got to meet Frank Bumpus? Anybody? Were you getting past? Or you know what I'm talking about. He was just, but the point is, I tell you what, just his presence was a comfort. And folks, let God lead you. That's why, again, it's important to pray. God will put it on your heart. But there's got to be compassion. There has got to be the willingness to bear the burdens of others. You say, it takes time. It's about time in our culture we take time. It takes time to meet people's needs. It takes time to help people. It takes time to care. And it's different in every circumstance, but God will lead. And so we need to be one with God's broken heart and so that we can show forth that in the life of someone else. And it leads even to having a burden for the lost. The Apostle Paul in Romans 9 said, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have a great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Now I want you to get this, if you allow God to cause you to enter into the burdens of others, you think that might help your soul winning? It really does. What will happen is, if you are moldable, then you get burdened for the lost. You don't look at people as just people. You know, if we were really walking with the Spirit as we should, we ought to see people sometime and just be overwhelmed. They're heading to hell. You know, can't God do that for us? You know, we need to go forth weeping. We don't know much about that. But I think part of it is that we don't know much about weeping for others. But if we'll weep for others, I think we'll be able to weep for the lost. And I tell you, when you start witnessing to somebody and you are, and not that you're weeping with them, but you have got that kind of compassion at heart, they can tell it. And there's something about that connection that makes all the difference. In this day, mixed up day, the Church of the Living God just needs to show forth the fact we got a real Savior, don't we? Don't we have a wonderful Savior? I mean, He just meets every need. His compassions do not fail. He loves us. We can trust Him. But we're the body of Christ. And the only way this world is going to know Him is for us to live Him out. And it starts in the household of God and then shows itself to a world that needs to see what a Savior we have. Let's bow for prayer.